Now, will you notice verse 12? He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Jesus. What he's saying, I think, here is the knowledge that he'll not attain perfection here does not deter him from moving in that direction. We should be growing, as Peter put it, in grace and in the knowledge of him. Verse 13, and this will give you the modus operandi of the life of Paul. He says here, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul says, I'm not it. I haven't arrived. Oh, so many saints feel so comfortable. They feel comfortable in ignorance. They think they know it all. Oh, my friend, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, the past, he's leaving it behind with all its mistakes, not letting it be a handicap for the present. The future, he lives in the present in anticipation of the future when he'll grow and develop. Someone has said that today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. This is practical sanctification. Oh, how real this is. And he says, I'm out on the race course. And there is a prize for Christian living. Paul's future is so absorbed with Christ that it motivates everything he says and does in the present. And he likens himself to a track star running for a prize. And his prize is not some earthly reward, but for Christ himself, that someday, the rapture, he'll be caught up and be in the presence of Christ. And that was the thing that he anticipated, and that's what it is. And many of us need to get in the race of life. We need to get in this. I think there are a lot of Christians like the whimsical story I heard about the maiden lady that was at a party, and they were playing a game who could make the funniest face. And finally, after they'd all made a funny face, why, they came over and handed her the prize. She says, what's this for? What's this, the prize for making the funniest face? Well, she said, I wasn't even playing. I think there are a lot of Christians not even playing at this wonderful, tremendous experience and adventure of living the Christian life. That is the picture that's given to us. And the prize for Christian living actually was Christ himself. And Paul's future is so absorbed by Christ that it motivates everything he says and does in the present. He likens himself, therefore, to a track star running for a prize. And you must remember, Paul apparently witnessed the Olympics. There was a great amphitheater in Ephesus, seated 100,000 people, and the Olympic Games were held there at times. And Paul was in that city for 3 years. It's difficult to believe that he didn't go there. He uses many figures that are taken from those athletic events. And here he likens himself out there on the racetrack running for a prize. Now, we don't run for salvation. That is Christ. We either have him or we don't have him. We either trust him or don't trust him. And the only way you can have salvation is through faith, because it's a gift, and that's the way that you get a gift. I've just come through another birthday, and it's nothing to brag about when you get up where I am today, and it was quite wonderful. The office here, these wonderful folk that are in our radio staff, they presented me with a prize. Not a prize, it was a gift. And you know what I did? I believe that when they offered it to me, they really intended to give it to me, and I just reached out and took it. That's all. And then I had friends that did the same thing. I just accepted it and thanked them for it. I didn't do a thing to merit it, to win it, or work for it, anything. It was a gift. Now, the gift of God's eternal life in Christ Jesus, and it's Christ himself. Now, you either will accept him or you won't accept him. That's salvation. And you can only by faith, therefore. It means to believe God. I believed all these friends. When somebody said, I got a gift for you, Dr. McGee, and poked a box at me. I took it. I believed them. I didn't put my hands back of me and said, well, I'm not sure that you really mean business. I'm not sure that you intend to do this for me. You and I do not know how really good God is. Now, Paul, after he'd received eternal life, Christ became everything to him now. Why, he's out running a race that he might win Christ. In what way? Well, someday he's going to appear before him. And his whole thought and intent was, I just want, when I come into his presence, I don't want to be ashamed. John said that it's possible to be ashamed at his appearing. I think there are a great many Christians today that are always talking about, oh, if Jesus had only come, if they really knew what it's going to mean to him when he comes, I think they'd like for him to postpone it a little bit longer. Because, my friend, if you think that you can live a careless Christian life and not have to answer for that, you're entirely wrong. You're his child. Yes, of course you are. But a disobedient child, well, you know, I've even got to the point when my grandson does things wrong, I paddle him. Now, that is something at first I didn't dare do. Why, I thought he was, you know, I thought he was so precious, so wonderful. But I find out that little fella, he's got the nature of his grandmother. And therefore, he needs punishing at times. He needs paddling at times. Now, if you think as God's child that you're going to live any kind of life and come in his presence someday, I suggest to you, get out on a race course. Start living for him. Look to him. And that is the thing that we need